Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Sarah Lynn Keller, the Director of Spiritual Vitality and Congregational Care. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Whether you're with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about FCC Natick, you can visit our website, where you can sign up for the link, our electronic newsletter, and get all sorts of important information about life at FCC and the broader community. And just FYI, we're hoping that our new website is going to launch in a couple of days, so you can all check it out soon. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. We want to welcome the Reverend Chris Hart to our pulpit today. Pastor Chris is a poet, process theologian, transition specialist, consultant, revitalization pastor, artist, and a frisky fusion of science and faith. He is committed to helping the church of today emerge into the 22nd century. Pastor Chris earned his Master of Divinity from Eden Theological Seminary in 2008, joined the faculty of the Interim Ministry Network in 2019, and is currently a social transformation doctoral student at United Theological Seminary of the Twin Cities. He is married to his high school sweetheart. Together, they have three children ranging in age from 26 to 14. He loves long road trips, good coffee, science fiction, and things made at home from what you have. His hobbies include augmented reality games and amateur radio. So thank you for leading us in worship, Pastor Chris. And I think we'll have a lot to talk about in coffee hour, so I hope that you will stick around and make conversation with such an interesting person. I can't wait to meet you more fully later. And we are pleased to welcome David Owens back to lead us in music today. And thank you for joining us, David. Children of all ages are welcome to this community, and we have the lovely playground here on the stage for any age. So if you feel the need to color or some other such thing, it is for you as well. And we have Sunday school after the word for all ages. So Porch Theology returns this week on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. on my deck. So if you would like to join us, RSVP to me sometime today or during the week. We haven't set a topic yet, but it's always interesting conversation and a fun time around the table. So bring your own beverage and enjoy the conversation and the munchies provided. So welcome to worship.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Linda. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light." The light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light. Please join me in the call to worship your response is, come as you are. Come, brothers and sisters and siblings.
Come as you are.
Bring your blessings and your burdens.
Come as you are.
God is here, all around us.
Come as you are.
Come, let's worship together.
Come as you are.
Amen.
Our opening hymn is, Come, Thou Font of Every Blessing, and you are invited to rise in body or in spirit. Please be seated. Our centering prayer this morning will begin with a little bit of silence. Let us pray. Precious God, be upon us this day in our worship and praise. Let us add and be with those who are in need at this very moment. Strengthen our faith in the inclusive and loving teachings of Christ, and may the Holy Spirit be our guide as we pray and discern our gathering as your church, to be the disciples of God's realm in the world today. Companion in life and death, your love is steadfast and never ends. Our weeping may linger with night, but you give joy in the morning. Touch us with your healing grace, that restored to wholeness, we may live out our calling as your resurrection people. Visit your people and pour out your strength and courage upon us, that we may hurry to make you welcome, not only in our concern for others, but by serving them generously and faithfully in your name. Let us share the faith and hope that we carry in Christ. Be the light of peace and healing to a world which seeks it In the name of God, who created, redeems, and sustains us. And in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying together, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 tells us to greet one another with a holy kiss. But the Bible never tells us what is a holy kiss. I invite you to use your imagination and childlike spirit to figure it out. Let us rise as we are able and pass the peace of Christ, that we might truly pour out peace on each other and the world. And then we will sing our song of celebration, which you will find on the screen. God's peace be with you.
And also with you.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark. Mark writes about two miraculous healings. Hear these words from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered round him, and he was by the lake. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well. Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all round to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
Do you all have a spot where we can gather together that's on camera and whatnot with kids, or how do we?
No, we just sit back here and we can talk to all of them.
Okay, I got it. All right. So, in today's scripture, I got a spot on all my young folks here. All right. Today's scripture, Jesus gets interrupted. He's on a path. He's got a plan about where he's going. And all of a sudden, it's time for a different plan. Jesus gets interrupted. So I know a joke that helps us get at what was going on here. It's a knock-knock joke. Okay? You know all how a knock-knock joke works. And you've probably heard it, but we're going to use it anyway. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Moo!
Right? We all know that there's supposed to be a pause there, and then the punchline of the joke comes, but the cow is an interrupting cow, so steps in the middle of the plan. Oftentimes, this is exactly how God works, that we are going about our day, we've got a plan, oh, we think it's time to go to Sunday school now, but wait, nope. It's time for something else. We're going to do it just a little bit differently. And those interruptions can really be awesome, can really be great. It's a reminder that when we get interrupted with our plan, it can be a moment where we pause, where we laugh, where we are transformed, where we are changed. So it's an invitation not to get upset when the plan changes, but to breathe deep and to recognize that God might be there in that moment. Amen.
Amen.
Now I understand some kids are headed for Sunday school. Oh, we're going to bless them first.
All right. So, as we tend to do, a reminder, the youngest among us are going to go off to Sunday school, so get your blessing hands ready, everyone. Help me bless them as they go. God of every age and stage, be with the youngest members of our community in this moment and every moment. May they and all of us know your comfort and peace as we move through the milestones of life. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So kiddos, come on, let's go.
I love going to church camp. It's one of my most favorite things to do. There was a time when I went to church camp when it was a rough experience for me. So we moved from Washington State to St. Louis so that I could go to seminary. And while I had been working in Washington State, I worked with troubled kids in a runaway shelter and a drug rehab. And so I had signed up to be a counselor at camp. And they said, oh, Chris has got all this wonderful experience. We're going to give him some of the kids that he can really help us with. So one of my young men was particularly challenging to work with. A constant set of interruptions and changes of plans and trying to redirect problematic behavior. And I was doing my best to love him and support him, but my patience was running low. Oh, it was so much work. It was so exhausting. And on top of that, I was still trying to adjust to what it was like to breathe St. Louis air. The difference in heat and humidity was exhausting. And here I am at camp, and I just feel like I can't sleep. I've got a fan on me at night, and this kid is driving me crazy. I just feel like I'm completely out of resources. I'm doing the best I can. So this young man invites me to go on a canoe ride with him. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if I can if I can do this. I don't know if I'm going to survive it. He's so impulsive. I'm not sure it's safe to be on a canoe with him. And it's so freaking hot, and I don't know. So my plan is that I'm going to go on this canoe ride. I'm going to wear my life vest the whole time. And actually, they had told us that the water wasn't completely safe to swim in. So, you know, if we can avoid falling out of the canoe, that's a good thing. So my plan was just to go on a little paddle with him, get back so I could enjoy the little bit of break time that I would have in the air conditioning. And so my plan was basically just to go on this little canoe ride, survive it the best I can, and get a break, get away from this kid, because he's driving me crazy. We head out onto the water, and we begin to paddle, and there is this peace in him that I haven't seen the entire time we've been at camp. And as we paddle, he begins to open up. he begins to talk about the things that are really important to him. And I can see that this is a side of him that I just haven't met yet. And so we took a really long canoe ride all the way around the lake. And I listened, and we had a chance to talk back and forth. It was the moment when our relationship began to change. Where in the future, when I told him about a behavior problem or something, he would have the patience and the relationship in which to hear me. It changed everything. Certainly was not my plan as we started that canoe ride, but we were interrupted. And it was so holy, it was so good, and it was so rich. I am confident that you have moments in your life that you can think of where you encountered a new plan. Wasn't your plan, wasn't the way you thought things were gonna go. And it turned out so much better and richer because of it. Thanks be to God for holy interruptions. In today's scripture, we hear two stories, and they're interwoven. And some of the things we need to recognize here is that when we get two stories, either back to back or together like this, it's one story telling us the same thing. It's the same point being reemphasized or retold in the same way. We get the story of a child who is dying. And we get a story of a woman who is unwell. But there's some important biblical context that we need to know. And unfortunately, women in the Bible don't get a fair representation at all. We don't even know these important women's names. They're nameless. The older woman has a hemorrhage. And so not only is she experiencing the physical problems of that, but she's also experiencing the exclusion of community. She would not have been accepted or acceptable. The religious rites would have kept her away, kept her from being fully part of that community. And not only that, but she has some wealth that she has depleted on seeking wholeness, about seeking to be included, and it's not worked. And we also get the story of this young girl who is about the age where she would become a woman of childbearing and marrying age. And she is about to experience the ultimate separation from community, death, being away from everybody. And Jesus has got a plan. He's on the way to this young girl's house when someone reaches out and touches him. I don't know what factually or scientifically happened in this healing. Who knows? But what I do know, or what I do believe, is that Jesus recognized that there was a need for healing and transformation when he was touched. And he also knew that it wasn't just enough for that woman to receive the healing, but it had to be recognized. It could only come to its fullness and its wholeness in community. So he says, he stops, he's interrupted, says, wait a second, something important just happened. We have to stop as a community. We have to recognize that this person who has been excluded, who has been moved to the outer circles of our community, is coming in, is now whole, is now complete, can now fully be a member of this community. And she is afraid, as so many people are, to come to church or to be part of a group for good reason. She eventually says, yeah, it was I experienced that touch. I experienced that transformation. I experienced that hope. And Jesus says, not only to her, but to everyone, you are healed. You are now part of God's beloved circle. Or not so much that you are now, but that we recognize that you are here. You've always been part of God's circle, but we as a community recognize, we see you and all of who you are as important. And then, almost in the same breath, we get the story of the rest of that, the plan, the before the interruption. Young woman about to die. And again, I don't know the science of the miracle. Was she just near death? Was she still, did she have life signs that they just couldn't detect? I don't know. I don't think that's the important point. Is that this person who was, again, about to be separated from community is restored, is brought back to life, is again reminded that she is God's beloved. And not just between her and Jesus, but as a community event. Jesus doesn't go alone. He brings some disciples so that this person can be transformed into community life. When I was walking in your door, I saw that you are celebrating at least 20 years of being an open and affirming congregation. Congratulations. That is outstanding. That is amazing. And yet, there is always more work to be done. There are so many people in our world who are experiencing death, who are experiencing a constant bleeding and longing to be part of community, but they can't find it anywhere. And yet, here you are. You've been practicing it for at least 20 years, probably more. I spent many years working at Starbucks, a favorite place of mine. And I will never forget the power that I had when someone walked in the door. If I could remember how they liked their drink, it changed them so much. If I could remember how they liked their drink and their name, oh my gosh, what a simple thing. But how it transformed our relationship. If when they came in the door, I could say, "Hi, Sarah, how are you doing today? Do you want your espresso?" To be seen and recognized and to be part of a community was transformative. And I charged them $6 for a drink at the same time, and they loved it. We are so desperate for connection, to be part of a community. Our world, our country, our planet is breaking up. We are so divided. We've forgotten how to be in community with one another and to disagree with one another. How to love one another even when we think the other person is wrong, misguided. Today's stories remind us of that call to be an inclusive community. To ask ourselves, even though we've been an open and affirming congregation, who isn't feeling welcome? Who else is starving to be part of God's community, to be recognized, and to feel in their heart God's beloved? Who in our neighborhood is being told again and again that for some reason they don't fit? They're not okay. They don't belong. Because that's the crowd that Jesus is walking in. That's the crowd that is going to interrupt Jesus. And that's where Jesus is going to be practicing miracles, of saying that not even death, not even that absence of life, not even disease separates us from the transformative hope that we find in community. That practice of love and compassion that we are called to as Christians on a daily, hourly basis. It sure is hard work. It's not always easy. I'm sure, you know, when we talked about interruptions, you can remember the feelings that you had when you had a plan and all of a sudden that plan got derailed. Sure, something wonderful came out of it later, but in that moment, that's frustrating. That was not my plan about how things were going to go. Good news is that God is a God of possibility, a God of transformative hope in the here and in the now, always inviting us to break open for more light, to invite more into God's beloved community, for us to know the names and drinks of so many more people so that they feel and recognize that love. May it be so today, tomorrow, whenever it is that we gather, whenever it is that we recognize that we're part of a community, whenever we have the opportunity to do like Jesus did and remind that one who is excluded, that one that is being pushed to the farthest circles, to say, no, you are important. You are loved. And come be part of a community that knows this, that practices this. Doesn't always get it right, but does their best. May that be so. Amen. Let us be in the spirit of prayer. Let us share aloud our joys, our concerns, our questions, all of those things that we need to bring before God in prayer this day. I have a couple of requests, prayers for Pam, who fell last Wednesday and broke her wrist. She's having surgery, or she should have already had surgery. And prayers also for Mark, a local musician, who died last Sunday from pneumonia. He'd also been going through chemo, and so the ammonia was the final straw. So holding his wife and children and all of his guitar students in prayer. Are there other things that we need to be in prayer about this day? What are those? Yes. Excellent. Prayers for a wedding. Other things? Yes. Yes, thank you, Randy. And it's a lot of work, and it's such an important ministry about how we stay connected with folks who can't be here with us in person. Most likely, my parents are watching from St. Louis as well. They often follow me around in the same way, too. So this technology is important. Other things. You know, one of the things on my heart is we're moving towards an election that is particularly decisive. And it's really hard to figure out how to navigate those waters, how to be passionate and hold on to the things that I believe deeply and be clear and articulate about those things. And in the same breath, recognize that there are people who are going to disagree passionately with me. And how do we build community? How do we love one another in the midst of this time? Not all, I mean, it's just more intense now with the election coming up. It's been there for quite a while, but just prayers for us as a country that we can figure that out. Anything else? Let us then be in the spirit of prayer. God of grace, God of light, we pray. We pray for the joys of weddings, birthdays, and celebrations. We pray for those who are not well, for those who are grieving, for those who are lost and desperately seek to be found. God, we pray for this congregation as we all seek to be hope and light in a world that so often feels broken and desperate. God, we pray for so many on our planet that do not have a safe place to call home with clean water and enough food and absence from the fear of violence. God, we pray for peace, and not cheap and easy peace, but deep peace that grows in our hearts and spreads across the planet. Despite our differences, despite the centuries of conflict, despite hurt and violence. And God, we pray for those who are struggling with mental illness, seeking to be whole, seeking to be recognized as your beloved. And God, we also pray for our unspoken prayers, those things that are on our hearts, that are on our minds, that we dare not speak aloud, sometimes not even admitting fully to ourselves. We know, God, that you hear even those prayers, the prayers that we don't have the words to form. You hear. And as we pray, God, help us to know and to feel that prayer goes two ways. That we lift our burdens, our stresses, our worries, those things beyond our control to you. We also listen. We also hear. We also feel your invitation to be your hands, to be your feet, to be your love loosed upon the world, to be and live your transformation. All of this, God, we lift to you in prayer, knowing that you hear, that you love, and are already reaching back. Alleluia and amen. Let us join together in your musical response. An invitation to offering. I invite you to give from your heart, not because you filled out a card that says you're going to pledge so much, not because you have to, not because you should, but let it come from a place of relationship. Let it come from a place of freedom, of an ability to respond to God's invitation and the work, the ministry, the vision that this community of faith holds. Give because you can. The morning offering will now be received. Thank you.
God of transformation, we bring you our gifts, our treasures, our time, our talents, all of who we are in service of your kingdom. Use all of these gifts to bring light and hope and the transformation of love into beloved community. God, accept these gifts that we give. Amen. Let us join together in our sending hymn, Let There Be Peace on Earth. I pray that you get interrupted, that you bump into obstacles, that can be moments where you have the opportunity to bring God's light, God's love, God's transformative hope into the here and the now. I can actually guarantee you that you will have such frustrating moments. Breathe deep and recognize them for the opportunities that they are. May God lift the light of God's countenance upon you and all those whom you love, both this day and all the days to come. Amen.